Hi, I'm Rachel T.
Hi, I'm Eva.
Hi, I'm Rachel G.
We are all Girl Scouts, and this is WGXC ACRA.
Hear music and sounds, radio art and melodies, every day from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM. Weekdays, there is all sorts of local talk, interviews with your friends and neighbors, music from down in the valley, previews of local events and more, weekdays from 4 to 8 p.m. Then stay tuned for WGXC Live at 8 p.m. with live DJs, live events, live broadcasts, and more on the radio at 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bindlestiff Family Circus of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with a WGXC news update. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Nick Reisman is reporting for New York State of Politics that three more cases of the COVID-19 variant first found in the United Kingdom have been confirmed in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo said on January 9th. Two of the new cases are related to the case first discovered in Saratoga Springs. A third case, unconnected to the Saratoga County cases, was found in Nassau County, Cuomo said. The COVID-19 variant is considered more contagious. The governor believes there are more cases of the variant elsewhere in the state. The variant is not believed to be more severe than the other versions of the virus. New York has administered 543,000 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine to date, and the distribution effort is being expanded. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com. Ariel Zangla is reporting for the Daily Freeman that after the Capitol riot this week, local leaders see obvious differences in how black and white protesters were treated. Quote, it was immediately clear how unjust the law enforcement reaction was to those Black Lives Matter demonstrators, unquote. The Reverend G. Modell Clark said, quote, people who were protesting the criminal justice system in this country, trying to shed some light on the fact that black men, women, and children were being killed by law enforcement at a disproportionate rate to their white counterparts, were treated as insurrectionists, unquote. When Clark saw what was happening in the Capitol this week, he could not believe his eyes, he said. Reverend James Childs, senior pastor at Point of Praise Family Center in Kingston, said, quote, somehow African Americans are seen as more dangerous than whites, regardless of what their intents are, unquote. He also noted that the way law enforcement reacted at the Capitol clearly shows that officers can restrain themselves, even under pressure. Alim Flowers, lead organizer for Citizens Action of New York's Hudson Valley chapter, also noted the difference in treatment. He said there were videos of law enforcement letting the crowd through the building and of people taking selfies inside the building. The protesters in Washington, D.C. were rioting over a lost election, while the Black Lives Matter marchers were protesting the police killing of George Floyd, Flowers noted. Quote, that to me is just really disgusting, and it hurts me, unquote, Flowers said. Quote, it hurts me and makes me sad to see what's going on in America still, unquote. Kingston alderperson Rita Worthington said, it is no secret there have been longstanding disparities in the way blacks and other people of color are treated compared to their white counterparts. Quote, the fact that you have asked the three people of color on the Common Council for a response to the shameful and embarrassing act that the whole world witnessed clearly demonstrates that there clearly is a difference, unquote, Worthington said. Worthington's colleague, alderperson Tony Davis, concurred, pointing out that rioters at the Capitol were escorted out of the building while Black Lives Matter demonstrators have been tackled and beaten with billy clubs. Nobody Leaves Mid-Hudson Executive Director Jonathan Bix said it was outrageous that more than 14,000 people were arrested for protesting Floyd's killing, while fewer than 100 people were arrested for storming the Capitol. Donald Mapes, the newest member of the City of Kingston's Board of Police Commissioners and a pastor with River of Life Ministries, said he believes there will be repercussions for the event this week. He also said people would have to be blind not to see racial biases in the country. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Natasha Vaughn is reporting for Columbia Green Media that Democrat Trisha Hotling was elected minority leader of the Columbia County Board of Supervisors January 4th. The new Lebanon town supervisor will replace Hudson First Ward Supervisor Sarah Sterling. Quote, as the nation and the county struggle with four crucial priorities, COVID-19, economic recovery, racial justice, and climate change, county government has an important role in creating solutions that benefit Columbia County residents, Hotelling said in a statement. Quote, I want to thank Supervisor Sterling for her leadership role and her commitment to both county government and the Democratic Party. She has been a generous, kind, and hardworking leader, unquote. Sterling served as minority leader for 3 years, and she was the first woman elected to the position. Hotelling formerly served as the new Lebanon town clerk and court clerk. During the organizational meeting, the Board of Supervisors also reelected Republican Matt Morrell of Stockport as board chairperson and Republican Michael Benvenuto of Ghent as majority leader. Quote, I would like to thank you all for your confidence in reelecting me as chair of the Board of Supervisors, unquote, Morrell said. Quote, I'm honored to work with you to serve the residents of Columbia County, unquote. Among the issues on the board's agenda for 2021, completion of the county's emergency response training center and work on the sewer line from Commerce Park to the Greenport wastewater treatment plant. The board will also continue to work on an occupancy tax for short-term rental properties and on police reform. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts this week should have sunny days with temperatures just above freezing. Starting with Sunday, which should be mostly sunny with a high near 34 and a low around 18. Monday should be partly sunny with a high of 34 and a low around 22. And Tuesday should be partly sunny with a high of 37 and a low around 22. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
Drummer Hamid Drake joined the Polish jazz band Hira for a raucous concert in Krakow, and we'll hear their collision of global influences on the next Deep Threes. Plus, tracks from Juju, Jennifer Coe, and Mono Lake. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Laura Kunruther of Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Transmission Arts programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
Oh, I forgot that we're the only two on. I'm Alina. I am a co-host.
Woo!
And I'm from Hudson. You all never know my age.
It's a secret.
Yeah.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Do you want to say it?
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish things.
And we're often joined by our friends, Amelia, Mashuda, Fatia, sometimes AJ or Nico. But today it's just the two of us, which has thrown us a little bit. But we're going to pull it together and talk about some books and bookish things.
Yeah.
And Lena has a cool book that she brought to share.
So this one was bought by my sister that looks very used, even though it hasn't been used before.
It's funny.
But it's called Coke or Pepsi. And it says 1,000 Coke or Pepsi questions to ask your friends. And let me tell you something. They put the number 2 when they said 2. So, like, we have to have 2 friends to ask for this book. That was totally funny. Yeah. And so one of these questions that I think Emily would like is number 21, favorite picture book.
I have so many favorite picture books. So that's a really tough question. I even had somebody ask me what my favorite picture book was of all of the many picture books I read this past year, and I could not pick one. So I gave them 8 because there's different criteria, like what's the best or what's your favorite? Is it what you think is the best, like, put together book overall, or is it the best illustrations, the best story, the one that makes you laugh the most, the one that, like, hits you in the heart, or is, like, the best writing? So it's really hard to pick just one. But if I had to pick one, which you're forcing me to, right?
Yes, totally not holding a gun up to your head.
So I think for many years I would have said Ferdinand, because I love Ferdinand the Bull a lot. But I think I would actually say Snowy Day at this point, because it's a sort of timeless picture book that never gets old. And I feel like I think for many years of my life, I thought about the book without really realizing the name of the book or who wrote it, just because I had read it as a kid and it just, like, stuck with me. And then I started revisiting it in my adult years when I became a librarian. So yeah, I think Snowy Day by Ezra Jack Keats is my favorite picture book. But there are so many amazing ones. And I think, especially in recent years, the, like, number of really high quality picture books is just amazing.
Yeah.
That's why I read so many of them. I also read some bad ones or ones that aren't that good. But I mostly read really good ones.
Yeah.
What's your favorite picture book?
Well, this one doesn't have words, but, and also I'm pretty sure my mom threw this one away, which actually makes me really sad, but it's called The Red Book. And one of the people who come to the children's authors festival thing, like, they were always there, and I usually did The Red Book. I liked The Red Book because I actually don't know why I like The Red Book.
Because it's great.
Yeah, I don't know why I like The Red Book, but I'm pretty sure I only liked it because it's a book. Yes.
You're like, amazing, this name, the title of the book makes so much sense.
Yes.
It's a red book that's about a character that finds a red book and goes on an adventure. And I love that book because it's a wordless picture book, and I love wordless picture books. And it's a fantastical picture book. So it has things that happen that, well, as far as we know, can't happen in real life.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, that's a great book.
Yeah. Okay. So,
what are some other questions?
I have another question. Okay. So, question 39, best commercial.
Best commercial. Huh. I don't really watch commercials. But I like fake commercials, like on Saturday Night Live when they do pretend commercials.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a favorite ad?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
OxyClean.
Because you like watching things get clean?
Oh, no. I just like how they yell OxyClean in the ad.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they're over here like, OxyClean. It makes your stuff shiny and bright and clean. I'm totally not just, like, throwing the ad out there. This is totally not an ad instead of a radio show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't care about the product. You just like the screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also really like pharmaceutical ads. I find them really amusing because they have to, like, legally, they have to say all of the possible side effects that you could have, like, sort of the bad end of pharmaceuticals. And then they have like this glowy video where people are like prancing around in love and like, you know, it's just all glowy and like life's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Those are, again, I find them amusing. I like ads that are amusing.
Yeah.
Do you have any other good questions in your book?
Wait. I think I know one that I know the answer to. Okay. I think I know the answer to this one. Like your answer to this one.
Okay.
Dream job. I'm pretty sure I know the answer to your, to this question. Dream job.
Because you think it's the one I already have?
Yes.
I do. I think that might be librarian. Yeah, that's a good job. Yes. I can't think of another job I would want more. Sometimes I wish I had more time to read, even though I read a lot of books. I think a lot of people think that librarians just read all day, but we actually don't. We have to read in our spare time. And so sometimes I'm jealous of people that get to read like all the time. Or like I listen to a pop culture podcast and like the people that work on that, they obviously do things for work. Like they create podcasts and write articles, but they get to consume like so much like music and movies and books. And like their job is to like enjoy these things. Although sometimes they have to watch or read or listen to things they don't like. So that's the downside to that. But I'm occasionally really jealous of people that get to do more like media consumption, particularly books as a job.
Yeah. But
I seem to manage pretty well. But I do, yeah. So I think librarian, I'd have to stick with my current profession. How about you?
I'd have to say an animator.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could be that someday. You already are that. You just don't do it for a living, I guess.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Any other ones?
Okay, so there's this really cool question. And I'm going to show it to Emily since you guys can sadly not see it. And so there's one that says, do you know sign language? And the answer shows like it's signing.
Oh, yeah.
N-O.
That's cool. So did you select no?
Yes. I don't know how to do sign language.
Yeah. I think I know a few letters, but at one point I knew the whole alphabet. But aside from that, I didn't know other words. I've even lost most of the alphabet.
Oh. Okay, so moving on to the next question.
Have you answered most of the questions in the book, or are you still working on it?
I'm still working on it because I think I've gotten I've only gotten 3 pages done.
Seems fun, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm having fun.
Yeah. Okay, so this one's like first page, question 24. And it says, what's your favorite candy? And not gonna lie, it's pretty funny. And it has like a meme about it. It's a SpongeBob meme. And it goes like, where are they selling chocolate? What? Chocolate? Where are they selling chocolate? And I like chocolate, which is my favorite candy. So
just,
yes.
Just in general, any kind of chocolate?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I think chocolate's probably my favorite too. For candy, I can't think of what else I would like more than that. Chocolate's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Although once in a while, I've accidentally had a chocolate that's like unsweetened. It's just like, oh.
No.
Then it's not so good. You got to add some sweetness in there.
Wait a minute. I just found something out in like in a random page of this book. I found a page that my sister did.
Oh, yeah.
It says... name Cece.
I'm pretty sure sharing her secrets.
No. Do you think this is a secret? Her favorite ice cream flavor is mint cookie crumble.
Mm, sounds good.
Yeah.
I've been on a vanilla kick lately. I usually add things to it, but
I only like moose trail or chocolate.
Mm. I made some really delicious brownies this week, and that with like vanilla ice cream is just like perfect.
Oh.
I'm very proud of myself. I made very, very good brownies and very good corn muffins this week. I was on a baking kick, I guess.
No,
and it worked out well.
On a baking spree.
Baking spree.
We're on a baking spree.
But it wasn't just that I was like, because those are the only things I baked. I only baked 2 things, but both things turned out like probably the best corn muffins I've ever made and probably the best brownies I've ever made. So good start to 2021 in the baking department.
Oh, okay. I just like how you're over here like, I've just made an accomplishment of baking in 2021 while I'm over here like, oh, okay. Well, here's the next question that my sister filled out. Okay, but yeah, this is actually a question that my sister filled out.
What is it?
Any advice for a five-year-old? You can be / do anything.
Aww.
Okay,
inspirational.
And this is something, yeah. Okay, and this is something totally that she totally doesn't want anyone to find out about. When is her birthday? Just kidding. She's immortal.
She's immortal.
Yeah, that's something easy. We should actually put that in the radio. We should put that she's just immortal.
She was never born. And she shall
When's
live forever.
Sister? Yeah, when was my sister's birthday? She's immortal. Imagine that. Someone asks you when your family, a family member was born, and then you're like, oh, they're immortal. Oh my God. Okay, so last question that my sister filled out. This is a very, very, very kind of true question. Question 30. It's not fair that boys have more freedom than girls, which is, like, pretty true, kind of, I guess.
Yep. That seems about right.
Yeah.
In many circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it also depends on
Okay, well, it's place. Your turn, Emily.
All right. Well, yeah. I don't have nearly as exciting of a book. So I've actually already talked about most of the books that I've read recently. So instead, what I wanted to do is to highlight some books coming out this month that I think sound good. So I picked out a few young adult fiction books that I can share. One is called Quarian Sky. It's by Mahogany L. Brown, who was our curator in residence last year. Kicked that off at the start of the year, and then we had a pandemic and sadly had to cut that program a little short. But hopefully we'll get to work with her again sometime soon. But she has a novel in verse that is coming out this month. So it's called Quarian Sky. And here's the description. It says, a novel in verse about a young girl coming of age and stepping out of the shadow of her former best friend. She looks me hard in my eyes and my knees lock into tree trunks. My eyes don't dance like my heartbeat racing. They stare straight back, hot daggers. I remember things will never be the same. I remember things. With gritty and heartbreaking honesty, Mahogany L. Brown delivers a novel in verse about broken promises, fast rumors, and when growing up means growing apart from your best friend. No. It's hard growing apart from your best friend.
I know.
I think luckily, like anyone that I considered a best friend at some point in my life, I was always at least like friendly with. I don't think I ever had like a major falling out, but there were times when, you know, we sort of drifted apart because we like weren't in the same class anymore or for whatever reason. But I'm excited for that one in part because I know Mahogany L. Brown and I love her poetry, but also I love a good novel in verse. And I'm hoping and assuming that that will be available as an audiobook. So maybe that's one I'll listen to because I also love listening to audiobooks and especially audiobooks that are novels in verse. So that's coming out, I think, on January 12th is the street date for that. And another one coming out on the 12th is Concrete Rose by Angie Thomas, who wrote the book The Hate U Give, which was a major young adult title the year it came out and also was made into a movie. So this is their next book. And here's the description. International phenomenon Angie Thomas revisits Garden Heights 17 years before the events of The Hate U Give in the searing and poignant exploration of Black boyhood and manhood. If there's one thing 17-year-old Maverick Carter knows, it's that a real man takes care of his family. As the son of a former gang legend, Mav does that the only way he knows how, dealing for the King Lords. With this money, he can help his mom, who works two jobs while his dad's in prison. Life's not perfect, but with a fly girlfriend and a cousin who always has his back, Mav's got everything under control. Until that is, Maverick finds out he's a father. Suddenly he has a baby, Seven, who depends on him for everything. but it's not so easy to sling dope, finish school, and raise a child. So when he's offered the chance to go straight, he takes it. In a world where he's expected to amount to nothing, maybe Mav can prove he's different. When King Lord blood runs through your veins, though, you can't just walk away. Loyalty, revenge, and responsibility threaten to tear Mav apart, especially after the brutal murder of a loved one. He'll have to figure out for himself what it really means to be a man. Ooh, that sounds like it'll be a pretty intense read, but I loved The Hate U Give, and so I have high hopes and expectations for this book. I'm looking forward to reading it.
I haven't read The Hate U Give.
Yeah, it's really good. Have you seen the movie?
I haven't even seen the movie, so okay. Yeah.
I guess it's meant for a slightly older audience, although I'm sure you could handle it.
I'm pretty sure I can handle it.
You can handle anything.
Yes.
Yay. Is that a question in the book? What can you handle? And you're like, anything.
Oh, no. As you were saying that, I was kind of filling out like a sheet of like the questions. You know, when you said, what can you handle? It reminded me of one of the questions, which said, what scared you as a kid?
Ooh.
And
so many things.
Well, you're over here like so many things. I'm over here writing my shadow.
Your shadow. Is that your only fear, though? I mean, that's hard because it follows you everywhere, but
if yeah, that was I eventually only fear. Overcame it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. No, it wasn't my only fear, but also spiders, because my brother had like a toy spider thing and I thought it was real, and he threw it at my head this one time. And I started panicking and I started screaming and I threw it back at him. And he started laughing as I just started running.
There's a time in my life where I watched some scary movies. And so I kind of like put this all into one time period, but it's possible it was like different time periods. But my memory of it is that at one time period, I'd watched all these movies that really scared me when I was too young. And so I thought Jaws lived under my bed. I thought Gremlins lived in my closet, and I was scared of my plant that I had in my room because I watched Little Shop of Horrors, in which there's a human eating plant. And in this past year, I've rewatched both Jaws and Little Shop of Horrors, but I haven't rewatched Gremlins yet. So, and so far, I have not been scared of them because I'm all grown up now. I'm not scared of those anymore.
Okay.
So my room was pretty scary.
Oh,
I just don't remember for sure if it was like that all three of these fears were like happening at the same time. They were probably not, but that's just how I remember it, as like a lump of like, in my childhood, I was scared of these three things.
The funniest thing ever is that how you, when you were, if I were you, I probably wouldn't be scared of any of those things, because one, I've never had a plant in my room. Two, I can't even have an under my bed because like we have like a wood thing to hold up our bed. Three, I don't have a closet in my room.
So you're safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lucky you. But you had a shadow that was like chasing you around, so.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to a book.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. So another book that is coming out later this month is called The Girls I've Been by Tess Sharp. And here is the description. A slick, twisty YA page-turner about the daughter of a con artist who is taken hostage in a bank heist. Nora O'Malley's been a lot of girls. As the daughter of a con artist who targets criminal men, she grew up as her mother's protege. But when mom fell for the mark instead of conning him, Nora pulled the ultimate con, escape. For 5 years, Nora's been playing at normal, but she needs to dust off the skills she ditched because she has three problems. Number one, her ex walked in on her with her girlfriend. Even though they're all friends, Wes didn't know about her and Iris. Number two, the morning after, Wes finds them kissing. They all have to meet to deposit the fundraiser money they raised at the bank. It's a nightmare that goes from awkward to deadly because, number three, right after they enter the bank, two guys start robbing it. The bank robbers may be trouble, but Nora is something else entirely. They have no idea who they're really holding hostage. That sounds fun and exciting, a little heist movie, but like, I like the switch of it, that it's a young person who presumably bank robbers would not suspect a young person to have any sort of con artist skills. And then she's like, haha. And so I have one more book that I'm going to mention, and it's called If I Tell You the Truth by Jasmine Carr. And this is also a novel in verse, so that's exciting. And also includes illustration. So here is the description. In this stunning sophomore novel, acclaimed writer Jasmine Carr explores trauma, fear, courage, community, and the healing power of love in its many forms. Kiran flees her home in Punjab for a fresh start in Canada after a sexual assault leaves her pregnant, but overstaying her visa and living undocumented brings its own perils for both her and her daughter, Sahara. Sahara would do anything to protect her mother. When she learns the truth about Kiran's past, she feels compelled to seek justice, even if it means challenging a powerful and dangerous man. And this is a little segment from it. If I tell you the truth that I've dug from the hardened depths of this shrapnel-filled dirt with these aching, bloody hands, would you believe me? Would you still love me? So that's another novel in verse that I'm looking forward to reading. And that comes out about mid-month as well. So obviously that's just a handful of the books coming out this month that sound very good. But yeah, if you're interested, okay, so, check them out.
So Emily, I'm going to tell you this.
Okay.
Because I just remembered to say this. But for those who don't know, we're recording this on like Wednesday the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And today is a holiday that me and my family celebrate called Three Kings Day.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Celebrating when the three kings like visited Jesus and it gave him presents. I don't remember what presents they were, but like they were presents. And so basically what we celebrate is that we get presents on the 6th. Why the 6th? I don't know.
Did you get your presents yet?
Yeah, but we didn't open them because my parents had to open up the store.
Okay.
And we can't open them without anyone else. But I'll text Emily or tell you guys next week.
Report back.
What we got. Yeah. But my sister read the name of one of the presents. And we have one really big present that has my name on it. And so I'm scared to see what it is.
How big is it?
I'll actually show Emily, but I don't know how to describe how big it is. But
okay,
all I need to
so I'm gonna see it
big.
And then I'm gonna describe how big it is. I'll guess what's inside it. How about that?
But there's a joke that we have, which is if it's usually big, then it's a honey glazed ham.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, but this is how big it is.
Put your foot next to it.
Wait, okay. I'm going to actually float my foot on it.
Oh, it is really big. Yeah, that's probably a ham.
it's probably a ham.
It's a ham.
Yeah, it's a honey glazed ham. My brother said that he hopes it's not ham.
Does it smell like a ham? It's like, oh no, it's boiled ham.
I don't think I can smell it, but my brother just realized that was mine.
Well, I hope you enjoy your ham. It could be slippers.
Because
it looked like it could be two large slippers based on the comparison to your feet.
Yeah,
but they'd be
two
pretty
really
big
large slippers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll hope for that instead of a ham, a spoiled rotten ham. Well, happy Three Kings Day.
Yeah.
Well, before we wrap up for the day, is there any other thing you want to share or any other questions from your book you want to dive into? You should open to a random page and just like put your finger down on a question and then we'll
okay,
both answer.
Okay, so I'm going to open it up on a random page with my eyes closed. That's how random it is. Okay, so let's see which question it is. 1, 2, and 3. I wish someone would invent blink.
Oh, that's a hard one. How about an instant COVID vaccine? Like, it can be administered instantly around the world and vaccinate everyone instantly from COVID.
Oh, okay.
With their permission.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of something else. Maybe like super fast, super safe transportation. Like faster than regular airplanes. So I'm going to do what you just did, but I'm going to do it with my Beezus and Ramona diary that I had when I was a kid. Do you want to know something that's really funny?
What?
I opened up my Beezus and Ramona diary from when I was a kid. And the question that I pointed to at random was, when I was little, this is what I was afraid of. And guess what I wrote?
What?
Gremlins. Truth. But sorry, what was something you would like invented? We didn't get to hear your answer.
I would like to invent either 1, an anti-aging potion, or 2, character customization. Like, you get to customize yourself, though that would be unlucky, because then you would be able to change your name and how you look. And that would be bad. The reason why it would be bad is because if you committed a crime, you could just easily change the way you look and your name. And they would be looking for this person. And then you'd just be that person. And you'd be like, I don't know who that is.
Aww.
It's totally not me.
Anyways, we're just about out of time for today. Happy Three Kings Day.
Yeah.
To Lena and to everyone else belatedly. But yeah, we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then, happy reading.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
No, I won't be attending Sleepy Joe's fake inauguration. I won't be doing that. Inauguration, by the way, is now known in MAGA circles as the N-word. So nobody, it's the only N-word you won't hear at a Trump rally. So no, we don't acknowledge it. So I won't be there. And my wife, Menagerie, also won't be there, okay? We're not going to. This is a total disgrace. It is a crime against our great people, okay? 75 million great Americans who respect blue lives, unless they try to arrest them, and then all bets are off, who love freedom, okay? Except when it applies to African Americans and LGBTQ and people who just want their country back so that they can urinate in the hallways of Congress and, you know, assault people. It's called liberty. Okay, it's called liberty. And not like the WNBA team. They should all be in jail. But it's about great. Oh, no, they're not the ones. Mike, you like the WNBA. Who's the team that's been mean to Loeffler? You know, the ugly Ann Coulter. Who, you don't know? You know, okay. Oh, Mike, still mad at you. But thank you for not doing the 25th Amendment, though. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. I know it was tough. It was our vice president, even though he knew he would be surrounded by strong, aggressive, angry young men if he did the 25th Amendment, he still said no, despite that very powerful temptation. Right, Mike? You didn't do it. So at least somebody has some loyalty left. But no, we're not going to the inauguration. It's the new N-word, and it's the only one we don't say. So 12 more days of fun with Trump, and we'll see what happens.
All of us here today do not want to see our election victory stolen by emboldened radical left Democrats, which is what they're doing, and stolen by the fake news media.
A twiddler with no proof.
Sounds like a horrible idea for a musical, no? Or at least a horrible idea for a president. Well, in just a couple weeks, he won't be anymore. And whether you're happy about it or not, there are rules that must be followed. Like my personal rule of not repeating a song I just parodied a few months ago, but you people won't stop fucking DMing me to request it, so here we are. More importantly, you ask, how does a desperate lame duck president and his bootlicking minions with no hope or evidence try to overturn an election they've clearly lost multiple times? I can tell you in one way.
We will not take it anymore.
Sedition!
Sedition! Sedition!
Huh? Look it up.
Sedition!
Girl.
Sedition! Sedition!
We had an election that was stolen.
Sedition!
La 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 la! La 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 la! He denies us self-indebtedness. He's attacking, cause he's cracking. Shouldn't he be packing up his sh**?
This was a fraudulent election.
Who would attempt to rally up a mob and try to stage a coup to steal a fair election? Who's so far clamped he couldn't hold his job? He's begging like a little bitch.
The loser, the loser.
It was a landslide election.
Sedition. The loser, the loser.
Stop the steal.
Sedition.
We won the election and it's not fair to take it away from us.
Could anyone defend the calls he's made? His strikes on free democracy. Maybe they would finally grow some balls if they'd stop thinking only of their own damn selves.
Consider the evidence.
Ambition, ambition.
This is my opportunity to stand up.
Ambition, election, objection.
This was a fraudulent election.
Sedition.
I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break.
He says he only needs 11,000 votes to win. He swears they stuffed the ballot box, but girl, they didn't.
Delusion.
Sedition.
Election.
Decision.
Invasion.
Delusion.
Sedition.
The election that just occurred, quote, was rigged.
Constitution clearly states it's time that he concede.
Get out.
Maybe once they lock him up, he'll finally learn to read.
Where?
In prison. In prison.
Oh, I hear they do a nice spread.
Sedition. Transition. Transition.
Nobody knows what the hell is going on.
Sedition.
We will never concede.
Who would attempt to carry up a bomb that calls the sedition, his lies would be as shady as a twiddler with no proof.
This was a fraudulent election.
Girl, bye.
The conference is now connected. Hello? Hello? If we could just go over some of the numbers, I think it's... Hello?
Here.
All I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have.
No.
11,780 votes that we need.
No.
11,780 votes to win the election.
No.
Fellas, I
need
11,000 votes. Give me a break, please.
No, sir.
Dead people.
No.
Phony ballots.
No.
The women had mass started screaming.
Oh.
Stacey Abrams. The internet. No minion machines.
We did a hand retally.
11,780 votes to win the election, and I need these votes, and I don't care how long it takes me, and there's nothing wrong.
We're flipping the stage.
There's nothing wrong. Give me a break. There's nothing wrong. This could be straightened out.
There's nothing wrong.
We're saying you've recalculated.
Please.
What a schmuck I was. You know the internet? You know what was trending on the internet?
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined by Andy Beers, who's the director of the Empire State Trail,
which has recently opened. And this runs from New York City through the Hudson and Champlain Valleys to Canada and from Albany to Buffalo along the Erie Canal. So, Andy, how did the Empire State Trail come together?
So thank you for having me on, Mark. Governor Andrew Cuomo proposed the Empire State Trail in January 2017, and it was funded in that year's executive budget and the budget approved by the legislature in April with a $200 million appropriation to create it. The 750-mile trail stitches together more than 20 regional trails, the Erie Canalway Trail, the Champlain Canalway Trail, the Dutchess Rail Trail, the Corning Preserve Trail in Albany and so forth, into a statewide non-motorized route for bicyclists and pedestrians to get people outside in a healthy, safe environment, exercising, rejuvenating their spirits, and also to serve as an economic development and tourism asset for the state of New York.
So I understand that of the 750 miles, 180 miles, which is actually, you know, new off-road trails that were created. How did you go about, you know, lining up these new trails?
Yeah, that's correct. So to create the statewide route, 58 construction projects, trail construction projects, large and small, were completed across the state, and those were done by a whole host of state agencies, the Hudson River Valley Greenway, New York State Parks, Department of Transportation, Canal Corporation, and others, as well as grants to 17 participating county, town, city, and villages that created individual trail segments as well. These are all rail trails or canalway trails, which means, you know, they're abandoned rail lines or they're built on the towpaths of old historic canals. And so we're repurposing those old assets, which generally were in public ownership, but were abandoned and neglected. We're repurposing them into this new recreation and, you know, environmentally sound transportation network for New York State.
So for the Albany-Hudson Electric Trail, which was apparently 36 miles off-road from the city of Rensselaer to the city of Hudson, you're actually following an electric trolley route that was in operation from 1900 to 1929?
That's correct. You know, it was, in many ways, the trolley was an idea ahead of its time. It was an electrically powered transportation system. The power was generated from a hydro plant in Stuyvesant Falls, New York, originally. And so, you know, renewable power, mass transportation was the first mechanized way that people moved around those sections of Rensselaer and Columbia counties running from the city of Rensselaer to the city of Hudson. This new 36-mile rail trail called the Albany-Hudson Electric Trail, you know, takes it, that's part of the reason of its name, as well as the fact that the corridor today is owned by National Grid and it is operated as a utility corridor, but there's plenty of room for our new trail. You know, more generally, if people are interested in how to access the trail, where do they park, what's the trail like, New York State has created a detailed website. You can just use your search engine to look for Empire State Trail. You'll find the ny.gov website. And on that website, you can zoom way in and see the exact route of the trail all across the state. You can see designated parking areas, nearby attractions, and other things. So it's a great way for people who want to find out more about the trail to learn about the detailed route and what they can expect when they go there.
Now, is there any part of the trail that particularly, you know, excites you, either because of a particularly scenic view or because it's, you know, an historic thing such as this electric trolley line?
You know, the Empire State Trail, one of the great things about the trail is it really takes you through the iconic landscapes of New York State and the variety of New York State. It starts at the Battery at the tip of Manhattan. You know, you're looking out over New York City Harbor towards the Statue of Liberty, and you start riding or walking north on the west side of Manhattan past the World Trade Center site and the Freedom Tower. You know, but then you work your way up to rural sections of the Hudson Valley and through small towns and main streets and communities, across the walkway over the Hudson Bridge in Poughkeepsie. And then in Albany, the trail route turns west and follows the Erie Canal. So you're now going, you know, on the towpath of the original historic canal, other sections on the modern canal, the Mohawk River. And you're getting a feel for the history of the Mohawk Valley and the Erie Canal. And again, going through these authentic little village and towns and main streets along the way. And then the Champlain section, there is a part of it that's the Champlain Canalway Trail, which is 60 miles from Albany north up to Whitehall, where Lake Champlain starts. North of there, it is an on-road bicycle route. It's the one section of the trail that's really designed for bicyclists to experience comfortable riding on the shoulders of public roads. But you get a whole nother feel there. You know, you're looking at Lake Champlain, the Adirondack Mountains to your west, and iconic views over the lake to Vermont. So there really is not a favorite part of the trail for me. What's really great about it is just the incredible diversity of New York and getting to see that by walking or bicycling. It's just a different way to experience New York than if you're riding in a car or looking out a window.
Now, the trail is 750 miles. How much of that is actually, you know, sort of an off-road dedicated trail versus are there parts, apparently there are parts where you link up with roads for at least part of the way?
Yeah, basically the Hudson Valley, the Champlain Valley section is primarily a on-road bicycle route on the shoulders of public roadways. But the Hudson Valley and Erie Canal sections from New York City to Albany to Buffalo is 550 miles. 85% of that route is off-road trails. And these trails, again, they're old rail beds or canalways. And so the trail is 10 feet wide. It has modest and gentle grades. It has an improved asphalt or stone dust surface. So it's accessible to people of all ages and abilities, you know, whether experienced hikers and bicyclists or families out just walking, little kids with strollers, people who need mobility devices, the trail is accessible to them as well. So that's the Hudson Valley and the Champlain sections are off-road trails predominantly. And again, on our website, the Empire State Trail website, you can zoom in and see the specific type of trail. It delineates the off-road trails versus on-road connections for people seeking that detailed information.
Now, moving forward, you know, are there going to be, you know, similar efforts to do something in other parts of the state in terms of creating these type of trails? And I also understand this is one of the largest trails, if not the largest trail of its type in the country.
Yeah. So the Empire State Trail is it is the longest state multi-use trail in the nation. And we're quite proud of that. And it is, you know, again, an investment that New York State's leaders and our local governments see the value of that. And also, just as an aside, the trail is seeing record use this year. You know, in this pandemic year, and we have a lot further to go, obviously, in 2021, the trail is a place where people can go. It is outside. By definition, it's socially distanced. People are apart, obviously, in busier sections. People should wear masks and take common sense precautions. But the trail is seeing record use because even in this winter, it's a place people can get outdoors and enjoy. The trail, we consider it the Empire State Trail to be the spine of the trail system in New York State. There are many connecting trails that people that are depicted on the website that people can also use to access or explore other parts of the state. And certainly these trails are becoming more and more popular. People want to get out, they want to walk, they want to ride, they want to learn about local history. They don't want to have to take their cars. It's also being used, you know, locally by people as a way for transportation, whether they're headed to the library or the store or the place that they work. And so we're seeing across the Capital District, for example, the Capital District Transportation Commission has recently, last year, issued a trailways plan calling for many new trail construction projects and connections, a network of trails. And you're seeing that in communities up and down New York State.
Okay. So we've been talking with Andy Beers, the director of the Empire State Trail. This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network. Andy, once again, the website for more information for people?
Yeah, it's empiretrail.ny.gov. But if you just search, use your search engine for Empire State Trail.
So recently, 2020 has taken us for a spin when it came to police brutality and rights for Black and brown people. This is HMM correspondent Erica Diggs for the Media Sanctuary, and today I am speaking with David Banks. He is a visiting assistant professor on geography and planning at University of Albany, SUNY, member of Democratic Socialists of America, and he is going to tell us why it is important to defund the police, amongst other things. Please welcome my guest, David Banks. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You know, let's just get right to it. So why should we defund the police and freeze the hiring process?
I'm going to give you some Troy numbers. I bet significantly less money than the money we're about to talk about, that it's the same case, a very similar situation in just about every city in the United States. All right. The Troy Police Department gets 28% of our budget. Right. So the $75.8 million budget that the mayor proposed for 2021, $41.6 million goes directly to the police department. That does not include 911 services. That does not include fire protection. That does not include traffic, parking fines and fees. None of that is included in that $41.6 million. And to top it all off, that $41.6 million reflects a more than $700,000 increase from 2020. So we're throwing more money at the police department. And I would take Republicans in the city at their word that crime is going up,
mm-hmm.
right? I think if it were any other government agency, right, we would look at it and say, okay, well, if the point of the police department is to reduce or prevent crime and crime is going up, what are they doing with a third of our money, right?
Right.
And so we have to start thinking more fundamentally, more critically about how we prevent crime, help communities heal after crime has been committed, and just generally, you know, make Troy a safer, better place to live. The first half, because, you know, there is only so much money in the city, right? The first half is taking some money away from the police. Part that gets me excited, actually, is then the where does it go? And it can go to lots of really important stuff.
Definitely. Okay, so, you know, I've recently seen something about demilitarizing the police. What would it entail for us to do that? And honestly, do you think that's such a completely good idea? And if so, why?
So this is another really good question, right? Because it's complicated because, you know, in the United States, we have a Second Amendment. People have a lot of guns. And you do have to think about, well, if the part of the government that is tasked with upholding laws, do they need to like outgun, you know, the citizenry, right? You know, like that's one thing to think about. There's no straightforward answer to that. The other part of it, though, is that, you know, this is kind of an arms race and someone has to make the first step. And I think it would be fair for police to do that in some respects, or at least we have to start changing the conversation around what policing looks like, right? And so, for example, one thing that we at Troy DSA really want to focus on is the 1033 program. And what that is it's a federal program that basically acts as like the Big Lots of military gear, right? So the federal government buys a bunch of, you know, MRAPs, Hummers, utility trucks, guns, vests, all the whole nine yards, right? And whatever the military doesn't use, they sell to police departments at severely reduced costs. And sometimes, you know, like some slightly used stuff also gets sent to the offered to police departments at deep discounts. And right now, Troy PD, we're not completely sure what they've procured through the 1033 program. It might not be much of anything, but they do see them walking around Troy in army fatigues.
Indeed.
With really big guns. And it, you know, sometimes I can't say that that's never warranted, but you know, it does say something about, you know, what you think about the people you're policing if you walk around like an occupying army.
Indeed. It seems as if they're scared of the community.
At best scared, at worst, you know, there is, I would say that comes off as there are people that are to be protected and then there are people that they are protecting those people from, right? Some people are the subjects of police violence and some people are benefactors of police violence. That's a dynamic that I don't think can last.
I want to touch upon that because I recently did see trucks in Troy. Twice, actually, at that. I was somewhere around Lansingburg, and then recently I was right before Lansingburg, and I seen a truck. I was walking, and I seen big old army trucks, and I'm a military brat, so I know what they look like instantly. What is that? I was like,